Why do you challenge me?
To live.
Then die! Bet you didn't think I could move so fast!
My last mistake.
You got that right! You think you smart, boy, huh? You think your flying kick can hurt me? Good! More fun this time! They all die so quick, it's a shame!
The giant started at him again, and Rock retreated, looking for an opening. The immense killer didn't seem to have any particular style of fighting. His strength was so overwhelming, he had never had to rely on skill. He just came at you until you were dead. He charged Roxen, reaching, grabbing, punching, smashing. Rock kept jumping backwards, glancing behind him every few seconds to see where the next stepping stone was. As he glanced around once again, the mean mother charged. Rock jumped in the lake. The thing had slammed into the boulder Roxen had just been standing on. The Doomsday Warrior swam the feet to the next foothold and crawled on as the giant stood up.
You hurt me, Roxen! That good! Me not be hurt before! You fun!
Rock couldn't go on like this forever. The big killer wasn't tiring at all, but Rock was, from the constant jumping every second. He skipped ahead 4 or 5 of the stone steps that seemed to dot the entire lake, trying to gain a bit of breathing space, time to make some sort of plan. If only he had a weapon. Suddenly, the water just ahead of him broke into ripples, then waves, then a boiling foam. A dark shape cruising beneath the green water suddenly broke the surface. Roxen cringed back as a snapping dragon's head on a neck nearly 20 feet long appeared in the air just feet away from his head. Some sort of mutation, like the thing he had seen on his journey to Pavlov City. That one had wanted him for dinner as well.
That's my friend! It hear you in water! Now it want to play too! Which get you first, challenger?
The immense amphibious monster swam at Roxen on large green flippers, trying to push itself onto the stones around him. Rock headed back toward the giant. As big as he was, he suddenly seemed like more welcome company than this green lizard thing from the depths of hell itself. His only chance was to get by the giant, race out the cavern, and somehow free the others. He approached the mother and faked as if he were going to jump to the right. The mother turned quickly in that direction. Roxen leapt from the wet boulder, his feet extended straight out like a rapier as he slammed into the giant's testicles. Rock started to run, but had gone just one step when an arm shot out and a hand wrapped around his ankle.
Rock! You hurt me bad! You hurt enough! Me kill now!
It stood up, lifting Rock with a flip up into the air. It lifted him in a bear hug and began squeezing.
Bernadette, I kill now. You eat.
The monster headed swiftly toward the mean mother's voice, opening its jaws wide to receive its meal. Rock was strong as steel, but he could feel his spine bending, almost ready to crack. There were only seconds left. Rock stiffened his index fingers, pulled the top of his body back with a superhuman effort, and jabbed forward into the mother's eyes. The giant's eyes gushed out like bloody broken eggs from the slimy eye sockets. The lake monster was almost upon them, its gaping maw ready to devour all in its path. The monster closed around the giant's upper body, chewing the huge bulk into bloody food in seconds. Meal eaten, the creature disappeared back beneath the green glowing surface leaving little ripples of blood that floated back toward shore. Rock climbed up and lay still on the boulder for a minute. He couldn't really believe that he was alive. Death had been so near just seconds before. But he had won. He rose and walked toward the gathered monks and chiefs who watched him in awe.
You are free, Roxon. You have won.
Rock looked at the living master with disgust and walked past the Indian warriors, who parted as he approached. Three motorcycles pulled up to a four-way intersection in the 150-year-old road. At the side of the crossroads lay rusting pieces of metal that had once been road signs indicating exits and towns ahead. Now they were barely distinguishable from the reddish-yellow dirt that lined the sides. The cycles came to a stop. Then one moved ahead about 100 feet and waited. Rock looked at Kim atop her Harley 600 that they had received from the crazy alligators after Rock had vanquished the mean mother. He had taken a 750, McCaughlin, a monstrous 1000. The sun was just setting, almost beautiful tonight in its purple haze. The pink and brown electric clouds of a brewing megastorm were writhing far off in the distance like stampeding beasts of pure energy. Rock eyed them nervously.
You mustn't go off by yourself, Kim. Come with us.
I've told you already, Rock. I must find my father and see if he's safe. When I was captured by the Reds, my father was trapped. I don't know for sure what happened. I must find out.
Rock looked down at the ground. He didn't know the right words. He had never been called on to say them before. He felt a strange feeling in his gut. Something he had never experienced in his life. Fear. Fear for her.
I must go, Rock. I must. I love you, and we shall be together again. I know it.
Do you know what it's like out...
Rock, I've traveled around. You know my father is organizing a convention. A reconstitutional convention. He is a powerful man, Roxon. As powerful as you. Can you imagine what a new United States would mean? A new government? A new constitution? A president?
A president? That would be incredible. It would pave the way for a new solidarity among the free cities. I want the same, but I can't bear the thought of losing you. I've hardly known you, but...
Shh. She stepped off her bike and came towards him. She held him against her, a 110-pound woman cradling a 225-pound man of the purest iron in her arms, like a baby. Roxon let himself feel her love. Let it penetrate into his cells, and he sent out his own. They kissed and touched each other for many minutes as McCaughlin kept glancing back from his cycle some 150 feet ahead.
Damn, Roxon. Can't keep his hands off the girl. Shit, that storm's coming on pretty fast. Come on, Rock. It's time to get the hell out of here.
At last, the lovers parted, looking at each other.
I'll see you soon, Rock.
Then, with a submachine gun tied around the handlebars pointing straight ahead, and other weapons and supplies mounted on the back, she rode off. Rock stared after her, watching the cycle disappear over the rolling hills to the north.
Do you think she'll be all...
She'll be fine, Rock. Let's go.
The two free fighters screamed off into the gathering darkness as the first bolts of lightning began flashing behind them. Doomsday Warrior. Red America. Adapted and directed by Dan Smith. Dialogue editing and digital effects design by Nathaniel Perry and Temezgin Wubna. With performances by James Komachek, David Coyne, Terrence Azelford, Jeff Baker, Karen Carbone, Tim Carlin, Michael Glenn, Christopher Graybill, Ken Jackson, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Kate Torrey, Dylan Lynch, Nanette Savard, Mort Shelby, and Christopher Walker. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Featuring music by Johan Detweiler, Nathaniel Perry, Temezgin Wubna, and Aaron Miller. Doomsday Warrior is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1984, Ryder Stacey. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Doomsday Warrior, be sure to look for Don Pendleton's Stony Man and James Axler's Deathlands. Available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll also find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, desktops, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for previews of other Graphic Audio titles. Available now from Graphic Audio. Blood Bond, number one.
Bodine unbuckled his gun belt and laid it on a log. Two wolves did the same. As he was straightening up, Bodine hit him in the mouth with an uppercut that stood two wolves up on his toes. Bodine followed that with a hard, straight left to the belly. Two wolves hit the ground and rolled, coming up fast and with a fistful of sand, which he tossed in Bodine's eyes. With Bodine momentarily blinded by the sand, two wolves busted him in the mouth with a hard fist and then brought a left around that landed solidly against Bodine's jaw. Bodine went down and grabbed two wolves' ankles, spilling him to the sand. The men wrestled for position, and with neither able to get the upper hand, the men fought on their knees in the damp sand until two wolves connected with a hard right to Bodine's jaw, knocking him back. Two wolves jumped at him, and Bodine put up a boot, catching two wolves in the chest and propelling him over his head. Two wolves landing on his belly in the sand. Bodine scrambled to his boots just as two wolves was getting up on his hands and knees and jumped on two wolves' back, riding him back down to the sand, his brother's head in a hammerlock. Two wolves bit down on Bodine's finger. Bodine lost his grip on two wolves' head. Two wolves broke free and grabbed Bodine, throwing him to the ground. Bodine kicked his brother on the knee, and two wolves staggered back as Bodine lurched to his feet. The two went at it, standing toe-to-toe and slugging it out. On a hill above the river, a band of Sioux sat their ponies and watched the men fight. They had been out hunting for food and were pleased with their efforts, so they let the naked gun hands ride on, thinking it a funny sight. Wolf going away shook his head in disgust.
What do you suppose they were fighting about?
I think Two Wolves has gone crazy since Medicine Horse ordered him to adopt the white man's ways. They're a very strange people, you know.
You son of a bitch! Jealous bastard!
Bull Bear looked at the others in the band.
Jealous? Of what? What does one brother have that the other wants?
Bodine got up and knocked Two Wolves down, then stepped back, catching his breath. Standing alone, tipped his head, watching.
They're not really fighting to hurt the other.
I have seen enough.
He heeled his horse forward, the others following. Bodine and Two Wolves were flailing away at each other when the hunting party rode up.
Stop this! I will have no more of this!
Well, he started it.
Silence! Your father's brother took my sister for a wife, so you will obey me. Silly young men. Is there not enough blood being spilled over this land without you two adding to it?
Bodine pointed a finger at Two Wolves.
He's a liar!
Be quiet. You have shared my lodge and my fire and eaten my food. Now, I ask only that you respect my right to speak.
Bodine and Two Wolves sat on the wet sand and glared at each other. Fat Bear dismounted, picked up a stick, and beat both of them on the back, showing them his contempt for their childish behavior. With that, he jumped back on his horse and rode off, the others following him. As they passed, they refused to look at Bodine or Two Wolves, another sign of contempt. Bodine got to his feet and felt his stinging back.
Oh, that old man still swings a pretty mean stick.
You deserved it.
Bodine looked at him, smiled, and then flattened him with a right to the mouth. They had fought all over the bank, churning up the sand, fought out in the river and back, each one doing their best to drown the other, and were on the bank, still flailing weakly away at each other, when an army patrol led by Sergeant McGuire rode up.
All right, men, break them up!
Bodine and Two Wolves collapsed from exhaustion on the sands. They could barely move. McGuire dismounted and squatted down beside them.
Yeah. I don't suppose one of you would like to tell me what this is all about.
It's personal.
I thought it might be. You intend to lie here by the river all day?
The sun does feel nice.
How the hell did you get those marks on your backs, boys?
Fat Bear came by and was disgusted with us. He beat us for our disgraceful behavior.
The Sioux War Chief came by and he beat you both. Are you two going to start fighting when we leave?
No.
Private, drag them over there by their horses. Lone Dog's up in Montana, so they'll be all right. Let's go. We've got to make the Fork of the Clear and the Crazy Woman before dark. Fat Bear came by and beat you. I'd have given a bottle of whiskey to see that.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.